keep it quite short this morning. We're thankful to hear. But it was returning to John chapter 5. If you've got your Bible, you might want to turn there. And it says this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is Aramaic, it is called Bethesda, and which is found by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool, and when the water is stirred, whilst I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. I'm going to stop there, but the passage continues down to verse 15 before it goes into the next section. But I want to focus on those verses this morning. The author and writer of the Peanuts cartoon with Charlie Brown and Lucy, you aware of those? You come across those cartoons, the Peanut cartoons. In one of these cartoons, it has Charlie Brown, and he's discussing life with Lucy. And Lucy says, "Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair." "Like what?" Charlie Brown replied. Lucy said, "Haven't you ever been on a cruise ship, Charlie Brown? Passengers open up their canvas deck chairs so they can sit in the sun. Some people place their chairs facing the rear of the ship so they can see where they've been. Other people face their chairs forwards so they can see where they're going. On the cruise ship of life, Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing?" Charlie thinks for a moment and replies, "Gee, I've never been able to get one to unfold." What's our view of our life? That's kind of the story of this passage. How do we view our life? Because we go through the teachings in John's Gospel. This morning, what's being revealed about who Jesus is the fact that Jesus is the God who reveals ourselves to us. He reveals who we are to ourselves. He's like the mirror that reflects back the reality of our life and our situation. So rather than going through verse by verse and picking out all the little intricacies that we can go through, things like the fact that it happens at the sheep gate, maybe that relates to the fact that John has previously said in the gospel that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Maybe there's a link there, he's trying to make a point. But what struck me as I was reading through was this question that Jesus asks. This invalid who's been there for 38 years. "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" And I think this is a passage about our mentalities. It's a story about miraculous healing, yes. But I think it goes deeper. I think it's about the mentality that we live by. You see, when it talks about the man being invalided for 38 years, it kind of has a resonance with a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14, which says this. 38 years passed from when they left Kadesh Barnea until they crossed the Jezer Valley. But then the entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. I think this is relating back in this Jewish context, in this very symbolic scripture that John writes. It's linking back to saying the mentality of the Israelites in the Old Testament that have been wandering around and around and around for years and years, and suddenly after 38 years, God says to them, now it's time to start moving and preparing yourself to be in a different place. It's time to start preparing. You're not going to be there quite yet, but it's time to start preparing for the promised land. And that passage talks about how a whole generation had to die out. And when we look at the Israelites, we look at the mentalities that they had. That in Egypt they have a slave mentality. They're bound to their masters. And then they're freed. And the people who are freed then go, we were better off when we were in Egypt as slaves. And then they gain this wilderness mentality, just wandering aimlessly around and around and around, before God wants to call them into a promised land mentality, where things aren't the wandering, where things aren't the slavery, but things are as they should be. Things are right and proper. I think that's the context which Jesus is trying to speak this symbol into the lives of the Jews. He's trying to speak to them saying, your mentality matters. Do you want to get well? It seems a stupid question to us, doesn't it? He's a man, he's been invalided for 38 years. He says, do you want to get well? And so as I was looking through the Greek to try and get the nuance of these words, because the Greek in John's Gospel is so rich and is so powerful and so packed with meaning. When it says there, do you want to get well? That word well is kind of weighted in such a way which means it's the wholeness of being. It's not just do you want to be a bit better, it's do you want to be whole? Do you want to be all that you can be? But then when we look at the word, do you want to get well? What could be used there, and what seems the word that you should be using in that place, of the word for want, probably should be the word belomi in Greek, which means to make a decision to will something to be, that you sort of wish something was different. But the word that Jesus uses here for want, do you want to get better? Do you want to get well? Is thelo, which indicates not only a willing for something to be the case, but actively acting upon it to make it come to pass. He's saying, do you want to get well? Not just do you kind of think, that would be nice, but do you actively want to do something about the situation you're in? He's asking a very particular question. Do you want to do something about the situation you find yourself in? Not just wishful thinking, but are you prepared to do something about it? And the man says, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool. And if you look in your footnotes, you'll see that verse 4, which is cut out of most modern Bibles, talks about the mythology of an angel coming and stirring the water, and the first person into the water would get healed. The man's been sat there for 38 years waiting for this to happen, and he says, Jesus, I've got no one here to come and help me into the water. Someone else gets there before me. And just a little bit of an interesting word here. The word to help in this context isn't like a nice word of kind of kindness. It's actually the word ballo, which means to throw or to cast or to drop. He's saying, I've got no one to throw me in the water. It's quite a defensive way the man's speaking. It's not like a, I have no one to help me. It's a, I've got no one to throw me in. It's quite defensive. He gives an excuse. Jesus asked him a very straightforward yes or no question. Do you want to get well? But he responds with the excuse of, but I can't do anything about it, Jesus. I've got no one to help me. I've got no one to get me through this. And Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. You see, Jesus is asking him, do you want to do something about this? And he says that he's an invalid. And it's interesting because I've always grown up understanding this man is a paralyzed man who can't walk. But actually, the Greek just said he's an invalid. Doesn't actually say what his condition is. And actually, the word invalid probably means he's more likely diseased rather than just crippled. So here was my pondering this week. Maybe this man went to this pool 38 years ago with a condition and wanted to get better. But he became so used to his situation that now he was invalided because he'd been sat there for so long. It says in the Greek that it was the blind, the lame, and actually in the Greek it says the withered. Those people who just become so frail, so weak. Maybe this man had just become frail and weak. Maybe he went there for the right reasons to start with, but had become so used to his situation, so dependent upon other people, that maybe he wasn't prepared to change. And maybe the question Jesus is asking, do you want to get well, is saying, Are you prepared for your life to be drastically different from how it is right now? Because as someone who was an invalid, he was dependent upon other people for everything that he did. He would sit there begging on a mat, asking other people to help him. Other people would have to help him go and do things, whatever it was in his life. And his excuse here is, I've got no one to help me. See, and when we feel quite hurt, when we feel invalided, when we kind of feel in a place where actually I'm hard done by, it becomes very easy to have a mentality which is all about me. It's all about what I can get out of this. Other people need to do things for me because I deserve that, because I'm in this bad situation. And we have this mentality and this mindset of selfishness, which actually pushes other people away. This man says, I have no friends, no one to help me. And actually it says that there's a mass of people, a whole load of people who are invalided in this situation. Loads of them are sat round. And not all of them were crippled, some of them were blind. So some of them could actually help him maybe. So actually he's in a situation where maybe there are people around him who want to help, but is he prepared to let them help? Because maybe he enjoys being the invalid that he is. Maybe his mindset is actually, he's become very comfortable being invalid. He's become comfortable in that situation. And I think it's relating back to the Israelites in the desert and saying, you've become so used to wandering in the desert, it's very hard for you to break the mentality of the wilderness and enter into the promised land. I think it's the picture here of the mentality shift. Jesus saying, the coming kingdom of God is about to take place. Is your heart ready to receive that? And it's not saying that if we're in a place where we're unwell, we shouldn't rely on other people. We should. What it's saying is, this passage is looking at our mentality about God and the kingdom of heaven. And this man, I think, is a picture of Israel. And Jesus says to him, get up. He's saying, actually, maybe you're actually able to get up off your mat. Maybe actually you've always had the ability to get off your mat. But it's taken you the mind shift to say, actually, I'm prepared to do that. See, because when you sit on a mat, it's like saying, I'm someone else's responsibility. But when Jesus says, pick up your mat, it's like saying, take the responsibility for yourself. Take responsibility for your own situation for yourself. Don't make it everyone else's problem. What are you doing about it? And it's very easy for us as people, and particularly in the life of the church, to become so used to going, oh, I'm fed up with that in church, I'm fed up with this in church, and I'm fed up with this. And maybe actually the answer is, what can you do about it? Get up, pick up your mat, take responsibility. Because we live in a society that doesn't want to take responsibility for itself. The whole kind of compensation reality that we live in, where it's someone else's fault always, which means we never take responsibility for ourselves. In our Christian life, it can be, well, so-and-so hasn't done this for me in my Christian walk. Well, actually, have you done it with God? Because God's the master of the universe. He can do anything with you. Are we taking responsibility for our own lives, for our own Christian walk? I think that's the challenge that comes here. Are we prepared to let God's word speak to us and change us? Are we prepared to act on the decision that we make? Not just make a decision, but actually actively act it out. When we seek to become followers of Jesus, is it a decision that we've made, or is it a decision that we've made that we want to act upon? That actually changes our circumstance, which changes the way we are in our lives. I think John is trying to fill this passage with symbolism to show us that our mentality and our mind shift has to be one that follows Jesus, follows his instructions. And the word to get up in Greek, just the use there, is the same word for resurrection. It's that change of life. It's that change of being from death to life. He's saying, do you want to be dead or do you want to be someone who lives? Because you can sit here in this situation like you've been for 38 years, blaming everyone else around you, but actually, maybe you need to get up off your mat, take responsibility for your life, and follow Jesus. Take responsibility for your walk with God. And it kind of links back to the whole thing we've been talking about in this beginning of this year, about church life, that church can either bring life or death to us. And depending on our attitude within the church life depends on what will happen for all of us. If we have a negative view which sits there saying, it's all about me, I'm fed up of this, I'm fed up of that, and so-and-so hurt me this week, and so-and-so said something nasty, and so-and-so hasn't been to visit me, or which is all fine things. It's good to have people held to account. But what can we actively do to encourage us all to become a better community together? How can we better choose decisions which choose life rather than death? Are we prepared to make that resurrection response to Jesus? The get up, take responsibility, and move forward with him. He's saying, stop being like a child and start growing up. Start maturing. Don't be childish. Start being like an adult. Take responsibility. I think it's quite a hard message to hear, and I must admit this week, I find it really hard as I've approached this message, because it's brought up a whole lot of things in my life which I hadn't realised were there. So I've had to think about the reality of my life and say, actually, there's situations in my life where I've gone, I'm being a bit childish. And actually, I take responsibility for certain things. Actually, I need to just put things aside and just do something about it rather than complain and moan. And I found that immensely challenging all week long. And so I'm saying something to you which I've been finding difficult to work through. Because it's hard. Because it makes everything else about God, not about what I want other people to do for me. It's difficult. So really, that's all I want to say this morning, is I'm prepared to respond to the question, do you want to get well? Or are you happy in the place that you are? Because God wants you to make a decision, but act upon it. Will you hear his resurrection call to get up, pick up your mat, and follow him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the richness of the text. Lord, I want to thank you for the author of John's Gospel. Lord, he's trying to share with us the symbolism of who you are. Lord, recognizing the children of Israel who need their mind shift from going from a wilderness people wandering around aimlessly, who become comfortable in their situation, to the call to move into a promised land thinking. Lord, to go from death to life. Lord, help us move into a promised land thinking, a kingdom mentality, where we seek first your kingdom rather than ourselves first. Where, Lord, we put other people first in our lives rather than making it all about us. Lord God, we want our lives to be all about you. Help us live for your kingdom and your cause and respond to your cry to get up, be resurrected, be changed, and live a new direction. Amen.